Good evening to you and welcome to the Dhamma Sabha Mandapa, Dhamma Forum or the Dhamma Discussion organized by the London Buddhist Vihara during the Vassa season, the rainy retreat. As you know, for the discussion, we decide a theme and basically select a prominent, an eminent, an arahant from the noble community. For today's discussion, we collectively decided very, very eminent arahant, and whose name is Mahakacchayana. O Mahakacchana. The Kacchayana, the great. Unlike arahant Venerable Sariputta, Moggallana, and Anuruddha, Mahakacchayana is less seen in the monasteries where Buddha usually lived. Venerable Mahakacchayana lived always in a very, very remote area called Avanti. But time to time, he visited the Buddha. And also, he gave some very good Dhamma talks. Now, today our effort is to analyze, with the help of the available literature, to find the ways or to understand the endeavors of Venerable Mahakacchayana attained his enlightenment. If I brief his life as a beginning remark, Mahakacchayana arahant, this enlightened, venerable monk, is first mentioned in the commentary, was born as a householder, 100,000 eons ago, before the time of the Gautama Buddha. This young householder saw then Buddha appointing one of his disciples as the foremost disciple of doctrinal exposition, the one who explains Dharma in detail of a Buddha's short utterance. When a Buddha utters a short utterance, that monk could explain it later on to the fellow monks. And at that time, that was the time of the Buddha Padumuttara, this young householder decided and wished for to become such a monk at a later time of a Buddha's ministry. And time passed on. And he was again born as a very rich person at the time of the Buddha Kassapa. Not this Venerable Kassapa, but the Buddha Kassapa. And at that time also, he was so devotional and practice the teachings. And at the great passing away of the Buddha, he supported with gold bricks to build a shrine for the Buddha Kassapa. And it is said, because of that merit accrued by offering this gold bricks to build the statue, the shrine, he was born hundreds of times as the Sakra, the king of the gods. And many hundreds of thousands of times as a human being, and more than 100 times as the universal monarch. And in between, he has never been born in the hells. And eventually, enjoying the samsaric happiness in the heavenly realms and in the human world. Finally, he was born into a rich, wealthy Brahmin's family at the time of this Buddha, the Buddha Gautama. And he was born to the family of royal chaplain. So the chief chaplain to the palace. Finally, when his father passed away, he could become the royal chaplain. One day, the king wanted to see the Buddha, and he asked his chaplain to do this mission for him. And he said, he made a request. If you allow me to become a monk under the guidance of the Buddha, I will go to the place where the Buddha resides and invite him to come to your kingdom. The king agreed, and he with another 7 ministers went to Savatthi, to the Anathapindika's park, Jetha's grove, and met the Buddha, listened to him, and at the time when the Buddha preaches his Dhamma, he and his friends became enlightened. And Buddha gave them this instant monkhood, Ehi Bhikkhu Upasampada. O monks, come and live with me. Rather, live in celibacy. So, that was their ordain, that was their enlightenment. And then, he contributed a lot, and he was, as his wish, the Gautama Buddha appointed Mahakachayana, the Arahant, as the foremost Arahant of his ministry, one who explains what is uttered shortly by the Buddha. So he became the master of doctrinal exposition during the time of the Gautama Buddha. To discuss his life and his endeavors to become an enlightened, this evening I have honor to introduce you the most venerable Bogodasila Vimala Nayaka Mahathera, the head of the London Buddhist Vihara, and the long-standing resident monk of the London Buddhist Vihara, Venerable Thawalama Bandula. And onto my right, there is the royal pandit, venerable Kalugamui Kasapa. Well, now, to start the program, I would like to invite Venerable Kasapa. Can you please tell us briefly the contributions made by Venerable Kachayana to Buddhist literature?
Most Venerable Mahasangha, dear friends in the Dhamma. So as explained by Venerable Ariyaratana, Mahakachana or Mahakachayana was appointed by the Buddha as the foremost of who can elaborate the brief Dhamma in detail. So the contribution given by Arahant Kachana to the Dhamma can be divided into a couple of groups, the suttas preached by him. The one is the suttas preached by Arahant Kachana in elaborating or explaining the brief utterances of the Buddha. There is a number of suttas upon the invitation or request by the other monks, by the other lay disciples. He explained them in detail, the brief utterances of the Buddha performing his duty as appointed by the Buddha himself. And there are other suttas that preached by Arahant Kachana, which are independent suttas, which are not preached upon an invitation or as an explanation to the Buddha's brief introduction or Buddha's words. Those suttas are his own or independent suttas preached by himself. And apart from that, there are other works of Arahant Kachana, like post-canonical texts, which are ascribed to him as the author. And there are Thera Gathas, the Gathas preached or chanted by him, exposing his joy and giving some advices to monks and lay devotees. So in that way, we can divide the contribution given by Arahant Kachana to the Tripitaka or to the Dhamma. So I would like to start with the first group that I mentioned, the suttas preached by Arahant Kachana explaining brief utterances of the Buddha. So the suttas in that way he preached, in number we can find about 8 suttas throughout the Tripitaka, in Majjhima Nikaya, in Samyutta Nikaya, and in Anguttara Nikaya. In Majjhima Nikaya there are 3 suttas, in Samyutta Nikaya there are 3 suttas, and in Anguttara Nikaya there are 2 suttas. So altogether there are 8 suttas can be found in the Tripitaka, which are his explanations to a brief utterance of the Buddha. One such sutta is, which is very famous and well-known Majjhima Nikaya sutta, Madhupindika Sutta. In English, we call it the Honeyball Discourse. So, that sutta preached by Arahant Kachana, like I said earlier, upon an invitation or request by a group of monks. So it happened like this. When the Buddha was residing in his native land, Kapilavattu, there was a young Sakyan. You know, by nature, Sakyans are arrogant. So they are very proud and very arrogant people. So there was this young man called Dandapani, who was an arrogant Sakyan prince, had not any respect for others, even for the Buddha. Dandapani, which means the person who has club in his hand, Dandapani. So he was well known as an arrogant person. And one time when the Buddha was residing in Kapilavastu, this person came to the Buddha and asked a question. So his question was, what does the recluse assert? What does he proclaim? He didn't even show his due respect to the Buddha. He just asked, what does recluse assert and what does he proclaim? And in replying to this, intentionally, Buddha gave an answer which is utterly incomprehensible for Dandapani, this arrogant young person. Buddha said, friend, I assert and proclaim such a teaching that one does not quarrel with anyone in the world, with its gods, its maras and its brahmas. In this generation, with its recluses and brahmas, its princes and its people, such a teaching that perceptions no more underlie that Brahman who abides detached from sensual pleasures, without perplexity, shorn of worry, free from craving for any kind of being. So this was the reply given by the Buddha, and this is utterly incomprehensible to Dandapani. So he was amazed and confused and raised his eyebrows and went away. And later on that day, when Buddha met the monks in Damsabha Mandapa, Buddha retold them the story, what happened during the daytime. And when asked by the monks, what did you tell to him, or how did you reply to him, Buddha uttered a brief utterance, what he told to Dandapani. And even before the monks, who too did not understand it properly, even before the monks raised a question asking Buddha to explain it, Buddha rose from his seat and went to his personal dwelling. So these monks were kind of lost, but they were not lost actually, because there was Arahanto Mahakachana amongst them. So they went to Mahakachana and requested him to give an explanation or to elaborate this brief utterance of the Buddha. So normally, whenever he was requested by the a group of monks or some other person to give an explanation to the Buddha's utterance, what he would do is he would not at first give the explanation, or he would not elaborate the Dhamma first. Rather, he would tell them, you should go back to the Buddha and ask him. He is the most proper. He is the proper person. He is the best person to clarify this Dhamma. He is the best person to give the proper explanation. He is the vision. He is the knowledge. He is the awakened one, not me. But being insisted by the monks, he would give his introduction or explanation to this brief utterance. So, to this reply given by the Buddha to Dandapani, he gave his own explanation, Arahant Mahakachana. And having listened to that, monks were very satisfied. There was Venerable Ananda with them. And on another occasion, they went to the Buddha and told Buddha that what they heard from Mahakachana. Having listened to that, Buddha said, if I had been asked to give an explanation, I would have said the same thing as said by Arahant or Mahakachana. And on that occasion, Venerable Ananda rose and said that, O Lord, O Bhante, it was like a honey ball to a hungry person. It was that sweet. He explained it very well. So Buddha named this discourse as a honeyball sutta, Madhupindika sutta. So that is a unique occasion that Buddha gives a title to a discourse preached by another disciple of him. So that's how this Madhupindika sutta came into the Tripitaka. And the second sutta of Majjhima Nikaya is called Mahakachana Baddheka Ratta sutta. Baddheka Ratta is a set of stanzas, verses taught by the Buddha to his disciples. So these stanzas stress the need of dwelling in the present, not longing for the past and not anticipating the future, but dwell in the present and develop insight. That's what the meaning of the set of the stanzas. Buddha had taught them to the monks, and monks learned them by heart, and they used them as an inspiration or as a motivation for their meditation. But there was this monk who did not learn the who did not have an opportunity to listen to these stanzas and learn them. His name was Samiddhi. So one time he was able to meet the Buddha and learn the stanzas from him. On this occasion also, Buddha taught him the stanza. Not only him, there was another group of monks, and rose from his seat and went to his dwelling. So these monks couldn't get proper explanation for the stanzas. So they were again, their only opportunity, their only chance was to go to Arahant Kacchana and get an explanation. So on this occasion too, Arahant Kacchana told them, I am not the right person. It is the Buddha who can give you the proper clarification, proper explanation to these stanzas. But being insisted by them again, he gave his own explanation. And having listened to that, those monks again went back to Buddha and told what they listened from Arahant Kacchana. And to that also Buddha said, if I had been asked, I would have told the same thing as said by Arahant Kacchana. So that is Baddhekaratta Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, the second sutta. And the third sutta, sutta in Majjhima Nikaya is called Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta. On this occasion, Buddha announced the gathering of the monks that he is going to teach them a summary, which means Uddesa, and an exposition, Vibhanga, to them. But in contrast, Buddha taught them the summary, Uddesa only, and rose from his seat and went back to his dwelling. On this occasion also, these monks had to go back to Arahant Kacchana and get an explanation. So, same thing happened. First, he protested and told them, you should go back to the Buddha. But again, being insisted again and again, he had to give his explanation to this Uddesa Vibhanga. So, that's how this third sutta of Majjhima Nikaya came to the canonical text. And there are three suttas in Sanyukta Nikaya. All three suttas Mahakacchana preached upon an invitation or request, this time by a layperson called Haliddhikani. So on this occasion, Haliddhikani, like Venerable Ariratana explained at the beginning, Arahant Kacchana was residing in a very far place called Avanti. Even for the people, it was very hard to reach him. He was dwelling, or he was residing in top of a mountain, which is very hard to access. So this Haliddhikani, with some questions, went to meet Arahant Kacchana, and on his first occasion, he asked a question, or he asked for an explanation with regard to a verse which was chanted by Magandhya. Magandhya is a lady. Magandhya had some questions, so she asked her questions from the Buddha, uttering or reciting some stanzas. So this lay person, Haliddhikani, wanted to get an explanation to one of the stanzas. So he went to Arahant Kacchana and asked him to give his explanation. So on this occasion, he explained very well this verse of Magandhya. So that is one sutta. Next sutta, he asked another question. This time he wanted to get a description to a again stanza Buddha uttered in replying to a question raised by Sakka. Sakka is the king of God. So in replying to him, Buddha had uttered a stanza. So Haliddhikani wanted to get an explanation to this. So he again requested Thera to give an explanation, to which he gave his own explanation, and this second sutta came into being. A third sutta is again upon the invitation or request by Halit Dikani. This time he requested to give his explanation to a quotation from the Buddha, which was preached to somebody else, and he wanted to get this explained very well. So he made the request, and in reply, this Thera preached this third Halit Dikani Sutta. These three suttas are found in Samyutta Nikaya. And in Anguttara Nikaya, there are two suttas. The first one is, this time it was a lady, Upasika, called Kali. She went to this Thera, Arahant Khachana, and she wanted to get an explanation again to a stanza preached by the Buddha in replying to a question raised by another person. And this answer became another sutta in Anguttara Nikaya. The third sutta and the final sutta was a short statement by the Buddha in replying to a question raised by another person. This time this lady, Kali, wanted to get an explanation and been requested by her, Arahant Kachana, preach another sutta. So all these eight suttas are the suttas preached by him by explaining the short or brief utterances of the Buddha. And the other suttas, like I said at the beginning, they are his own or independent suttas. They are preached by Arahant Kachana to other devotees, sometimes to monks, sometimes to lay devotees. Some suttas are found in Majjhima Nikaya. This time it was a dialogue between Arahant Kachana and a king called King Avantiputta of city Madura. This is called the Madura Sutta, which is in Majjhima Nikaya. In Samyutta Nikaya, there is a sutta preached by again Arahant Kachana to a rowdy group of Brahmin boys. So he managed to get them disciplined by preaching this sutta. So like that, there are these suttas preached by him independently, his own teachings. So they all are found in the Tripitaka. And finally, I would like to mention that there are another two works ascribed to him as the author. These are called post-canonical texts. These two are called, one is the Petakopadesa, the other one is the Nettippakarana. So these probably must have been done by him after the Parinibbana of the Buddha. So, but somehow they are regarded as the post-canonical text which motivated some commentators to make their commentaries to the Tripitaka, to the suttas preached by the Buddha. So like this, Arahant Kachana had given his utmost contribution to the Tripitaka and to the Dhamma preached by the Buddha.
Thank you, Venerable Kassapa. Now, that's the huge amount of contribution by Arahant Venerable Mahakachana to the Buddhist literature, to the canon, the Buddhist canon. So he has been in this way very useful, very eminent and prominent Arahant monk at the time of the Buddha, and he has been very helpful to his fellow venerable monks and lay devotees. Now, to do these miracles, the only simple thing that he had was his enlightenment. Only an enlightened being can do such miracles like the Buddha did himself. Now, most Venerable Bhante Srila Vimala Nayaka Thera, what is it meant by instantaneous enlightenment, and how is it possible? Because we know this enlightenment is the ultimate goal, but if one can instantaneously do it, it should be wonderful. It should be very, very useful to know. But please, Bhante, can you contribute a little to this discussion?
Instantaneous enlightenment. Think about, we will having performed any kind of sila or meditation or any meritorious deed, we wish maybe attain enlightenment. That is the way we Buddhist people, at the end of all these meritorious deeds, we wish to become enlightened, maybe attain enlightenment, nibbana paccayo hotu. May all these good karma conduce you to attain nirvana. This is the way we wish. And we all, as we Buddhist, our final liberation is attainment of nirvana. So therefore it is a liberation. It is a freedom. It is a happiness. It is a realization, things as they are. So we, and it is the perfect happiness. So this way, we wish to attain enlightenment. So, because samsara is a source of suffering, in that way, in regard, we have to understand dukkha. Then when we understand dukkha of this samsaric existence, we have to cross over the samsara. So in order to cross over the samsara, the Buddha has given so many sermons and meditation techniques and different ways. So enlightenment is the how it happened, actually, It wouldn't be happen, actually, to everyone. It happened to, rarely, to a certain people. As Venerable Ariratna Thera and Kasava Thera has explain, Ma Kachana was a householder during Padumuttara Buddha 100,000 eons ago. Then he had seen Padumuttara Buddha had appointed a monk as eminent monk. First and foremost, monk who can analyze the Dhamma in detail. Then he was very impressed. This young man, he invited the Buddha and he offer dana and look after the Buddha for 1 week. At the end of the week, he revealed what was the expectation he had in mind when he organized this meritorious ceremony. He too wanted to be a first and foremost monk who can analyze Dhamma in detail. Then Padumuttara Buddha, through his foresight, had seen after 100,000 eons, you can fulfill your expectation during the Gautama the Buddha. This way, throughout many, many long journey in the samsara, he had fulfilled some kind of qualities. Then, the Gautama Buddha's sasana, that time, as other monks had explained, Kachana was born in a very rich family. In the kingdom of Avanti, near to the capital of Avanti was Ujjaini. His father was the chaplain for the king. Then after his father's death, he succeeded. He became the chaplain. When Buddha started his Dhammaduta works in the basin of River Ganges, the king of the Avanti, whose name was Chandrapajota, came to know about the Buddha's mission. He wanted to invite the Buddha to his kingdom of Avanti in the city of Ujjaini. Then he wanted to find a suitable person. Finally, he, with the help of other ministers, had chosen Kachana for this mission. Kachana asked, he wanted a condition. If the king would give the permission to become a monk under the guidance of the Gautama Buddha, he was very happy to take this invitation, make the invitation to the Buddha. This is the way he went to see the Buddha. Now we can understand he had fulfilled so many qualities, his knowledges, and he was a very qualified person. So there are four ways in the Anguttara Nikaya explain one become enlightened. Uggati Tajna is quick enlightenment. Quick enlightenment means it is given in the Dhamma as an analogy. When the sun rising, some lotus flowers bloom. Not all the lotus flowers bloom, but only few lotus flowers bloom. Likewise, Uggati Tajna is some people who have qualification. They listen the Dhamma, then they quickly keep up Vinaya. Quickly they attain enlightenment. So now we need to understand other three are Muggatita Vipatitajna. They need few days, like five ascetic monks. Kondanya attained Sotapanna. Then the other monks took few days, few weeks, and Buddha had trained him. This way, Vipatitajna means it take time and take longer time. Nyaya, they take longer time, and Padaparama, they are unable to attain enlightenment in that very life. So, this way, enlightenment, what is enlightenment? Certainly, it is the fulfillment of spiritual practice in Buddha's teaching. A culmination of our spirituality. In the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, Buddha said clearly, until I understand the Four Noble Truths, none of the devas or human beings call me as the Buddha. Until I realize the Four Noble Truths in 12 ways, according to three rounds, and 12 ways. Triparivartha, Dvadasakara, this is the knowledge. This should be understood, that I have understood. This is the way, the three rounds. And four noble truth, they understood in this way, then it become 12 forms. So, important thing, understanding the four noble truth. Then one become enlightened. Most important thing is for understanding the four noble truth. Then the other thing is cessation of the defilements or cankers, asavas, asavakaya, defilements, kilesas. So once the Buddha, once the Sariputta was asked definition about Nirvana, he said cessation of greed, cessation of hatred, cessation of delusion is Nirvana. Ragakkayo, dosakkayo, mohakkayo, nibbana. In Buddhism, there are three fires, ragakki, dosakki, mohakki. Cessation of or extinguishing the fire of greed, fire of hatred, fire of delusion is Nirvana. That means we have to overcome, we have to eliminate the defilements, kilesas. Then mind become pure, purity in mind, and proper understanding the Four Noble Truths. Another occasion the Buddha asked from the monks, Buddha asked this question, monks, what should be thoroughly understood to become enlightened? Then monks were silent. What should be thoroughly understood to become enlightened? Then the monks were silent. Buddha said, he himself gave the answer, monks. Five grasping aggregates to be thoroughly understood to become enlightened. So they therefore properly things within the mind and body, nama rupa, five aggregates to be thoroughly understood, grasping aggregates to be understood. So therefore understanding in various ways we can develop our wisdom. Sutamaya panya, listening, bhavanamaya panya, chintamaya panya, we can develop our wisdom, then become enlightened. Then defilements have been eliminated. So therefore, what is this Venerable Ariyaratna asked me, instantaneous enlightenment. There are, once Buddha visited Parada. Parada was a person Buddha met. He lived nearby the sea. And there the Buddha gave a sermon, Parada Sutta. He, Buddha, said that my Dhamma is like the ocean. Anupubba Ninno is a gradually going to deeper. It gradually deepen. So not at once, the beach, the shore is going deeper, deeper, gradually. Like Dhamma is Anupubbi Patipada. Anupubbi Patipada. The practice is a gradual path, Dana, Sila, Bhavana, etc. Then one can become matured, matured, spiritual matured. Then when the matured person spiritually listens the Dhamma, he can understand instantaneous enlightenment, kanika, or quickly one can attain enlightenment. That is the way in here Kachayana at an enlightenment, when he wanted to invite the Buddha, he listened to the Buddha and he sermon, he became enlightened. But very recently I met Most Venerable Suchitto. He visited the Vihara last week, former abbot of the Chittas temple. He has written a book about rude awakening. The name of the book is Rude Awakening. I wanted to have a discussion, Dhamma discussion with him. I asked why you have given this name, Rude Awakening. He clearly explained there are two meanings of this word, rude. Rude is, we know, if someone is not friendly, very aggressive, we say he is very rude, not civilized way. He is rude. But the other way, rude awakening means surprise enlightenment. Surprise enlightenment. Like this instantaneous enlightenment. So, therefore, one should be qualified listening, practicing the Dhamma, like the lotus flower bloom early morning, first touch of the sun rays, some flowers. Likewise, to be some people. Sariputta, listening, he was meditating. Buddha gave the sermon to Diganaka. But Diganaka didn't become enlightened. But Sariputta, he was somewhere else, but he was listening to the Buddha. He attained one of the paths. So this way, excuse me, unexpectedly, this is our unexpectedly, one can become enlightened. But one should practice. Bahiya, Daruchirya, he became enlightened just only shortest sermon listening to the Buddha. Bahiya ditte dittamattam bhavissati. Sute sutamattam bhavissati. Four line stanza. He listened to the Buddha. He became enlightened. He was the Arahan. Quickly, who became enlightened very short period. That is the way, the instantaneous enlightenment. But there should, behind that enlightenment, there should be the Patipada progress, process. But one thing, in another occasion, it says Kachana became not instantaneous enlightenment. He had practiced Samatha and he practiced Vipassana and he became enlightened. Another place. That is the conflict, as most venerable Jnana Ponika has clearly said in his book. This is a conflict. In a place it says no gradual path, but in one place it says he had practiced Samatha and practiced Vipassana, and Buddha gave a little sermon and became enlightened. Okay.
Thank you, Bhante. Now the fact is clear, to brief him. One essentially need to practice and come to a perfection of his spiritual upbringing. Then, some in the course of meditation, step by step, one after the other knowledge, gradually reaches the enlightenment. But because of the previous power of the previous merits, and the perfection of one's understanding, either listening to a short admonition or by just seeing something, like a monk is walking along the road and there's a river flowing, and he sees all of a sudden the bubbles come up and blown out. That's his meditation. In a second, he became an enlightened. So I guess there's no conflict to Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi's explanation. He has cited two different places. But according to this, what the idea of this instantaneous understanding or the enlightenment is, that one becomes enlightened in a split second with no such rigorous long time practice in for his enlightenment in this very life. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much for your elaborated explanation to my question. Now, when somebody becomes enlightened, essentially there are some qualities and kinds of knowledge, but very rarely, or very few Venerable Arahant monks had attained their Nibbana or realization, enlightenment, with special kinds of knowledge, which is known as analytical knowledge. Now, if I, Venerable Bhante Bandule, refer to you, and can you please explain what these analytical knowledge, and what is the use of these kinds of analytical knowledges for an Arahant monk? Please, this audience will be happy to hear
you. Thank you, Venerable. I think you have heard about enlightenment from most Venerable Nayak Thero. So it is explained one how one can attain enlightenment. And we find in Tripitaka there are two ways monks attain enlightenment. One called Suksavipakshaka and also the other Samatayanika. So some monks get the special knowledges, some are not getting it. But in the here, Venerable asks me, what are the special things, special knowledges they get? In the scriptures it says when one attains enlightenment, first stage, it's called the Tisso Vijja, that means three knowledges he is getting. One is the Pubbe Nivasanusati Jnana, that's when someone is practicing meditation, so he goes into deeper meditation and he can realize what are the previous life of his, what type of life he had. That jnana can be attained by an arahant. So that is the one Buddha attained in himself when the first watch he was practicing meditation. Then that is the recollecting of his previous life. Then if we can recollect what are our previous life, then actually we will think that what we have done in our life. So unwholesome deeds and all things can be realized within it. Then the next attainment, next knowledge that Arahant monks get is the Chutupapata Jnana. That is the knowledge of rebirth of others. When someone can think about oneself, then he can develop his mind to think about the others' rebirth, how he was. Because if I can recollect my one, then we can recollect. Like the, you know, these days we find some people are telling about their previous life. Then they can say about him. Also they can say what are their previous mother or father or brothers and sisters, so that those things can connect. But the attainment of arahantship, also that knowledge he is getting. Then the last one called the Asavakya Jnana, that is knowledge regarding the cessation of mental intoxicants. So that knowledge, to that knowledge he is attaining the arahantship, when they attain, because at that time he is eradicating all his cravings and all the other unwholesome thoughts within him, and he attain enlightenment. So those three vijja, the tisso vijja, we call the three knowledges those arahant monks are getting. But in a special case, as you know, Mahakachana, when we look at the Buddha's teaching, Buddha has given some summary in some occasions, and sometimes he has given detailed teachings in his practice. Sermons, sometimes longer sermons, sometimes short ones. Give a few words to think about, and the Mahakachana was analyzing the teachings of the Buddha, the summary of the teachings of the Buddha. He analyzed it. That for that job, he has some kind of special knowledge. So that is what we call the, here Bhante is asking me, that is called the Patisambhida Jnana. Patisambhida, it's connected with the, all the suffering and the understanding of suffering and the eradication, that is connected with it. But the understanding, that is important here. The first one, it says there are four kind of knowledge, analytical knowledges. That is called the four kinds. That is first one called the Atta Patisambhida Jnana. Atta means, the, in English we call the Arte. That is meaning, analytical knowledge of the true meaning of it. Then the second one is called the Dhamma Patisambhida Jnana, the analytical knowledge of the law. The third one called the Nirutti Patisambhida Jnana, the analytical knowledge of language. The fourth one is called the Patibhana Patisambhida Jnana, the ready wit. So that is how it has classified. Then let us see what is this the analytical knowledge of the true meaning. True meaning of what? It is regarding to the sense. That is what Buddha, it is explained here. Then because there are things, there are five things are considered as atta. That is the everything depend on condition. That is one of the meaning. Everything depend on, that is like cause and effect. Everything depend on condition. Then second one is Nibbana. Nibbana has some kind of understanding, meaning. Then the meaning of words. Then karma and results. And functional consciousness. All these five is considered as meaning. Then Buddha in here, that person who attain enlightenment with this, the Atta Patisambhida Jnana, then he thoroughly understand those factors. So that is what, that special knowledge he got it. Then the second one, it calls the Dhamma Patisambhida Jnana. That is there also, there are five things we have to look at it. Then that is, every cause produce a result. That is the Dharma. That is the law. That is, we have to understand it. That is the, another thing is as Dharma, it is the noble path is the Dhamma. And also our spoken word as the Dhamma, it is a law. And also the karmically wholesome things also, it is another law. And also the karmically unwholesome, that is also another law. When someone reflect on the laws in knowledge of his, failing with the category concerned with the law is the analytical knowledge of the law. So law has to be understand, and also meaning, when we got the meaning of it, then we have this law, or we call the Dhamma. So the next one we call the Nirutti. Nirutti is the language of the knowledge of the language concerning those things. That means the previous two things, and the language corresponding to the reality, and the unfolding mode of expression concern the true meaning of the law. So all these three are very important for a person to analyze the Buddha's teaching. The last one called the Patibhana Patisambhidha Jnana, knowledge about the kind of knowledges. It's that the knowledge which has all knowledges as objects and considers them. We can say the analytical knowledge of ready wit, meaning the knowledge of the above mentioned three kind of knowledges in all other details with their objects, function, etc. So that is, all these things are connected with the Buddha's understanding. And also that is one we call the understanding of what is dukkha and what is the cause of dukkha, and also how the path managed we have. If that arahant have special knowledge, then he can explain the teachings of the Buddha. Otherwise, anyone else cannot do. So special knowledge Mahakachayana had to analyze Buddha's teaching. Buddha has given a very summary of his teaching, then he could elaborate those teachings. So I think that is what my answer is.
Yes, Bhakti, thank you very much. Now, if you a serious reader, you should have seen the great work by Venerable Arahant Sariputta, the Patisambhidha Magga, in which Venerable Sariputta explains all what is taught by the Buddha, like Four Noble Truths and Five Aggregates, and etc., etc. In relation to these four types of analytical knowledge. As Venerable Bandula clearly explained that one needs to have, but rarely some of us have these types of knowledge. Now, in Patisambhidha Magga, the path of discrimination, there are 73 special types of knowledge is explained in relation to these four types of knowledge. Now, to make it simple and understandable, now, for example, this is what these four ideas carry. Now, we all know a language or two. But can we make poems? Can everyone who knows language make poems or write stories? No. Why? They don't have this patibhana, the creative ability to put the more suitable words, beautiful words, together to give a different hidden meaning out of his poetic structure. Now, this is what? To express dharma or a theory or a psychology or philosophy, that one needs to use a language. And language, in its vocabulary, the words can carry different types of meanings. There are dictionary meanings, there are associated meanings, hidden meanings, and a lot of connotations, denotations, etc., etc. So, for some people only, that they have this special ability gained along with their enlightenment, that they also can understand and teach it to others. Most of the other arahant could realize it, but they couldn't express it, explain it to other fellow human beings to be able to realize it, because they didn't have this ability of the knowledge of the meaning of the words that they speak, and along with the meaning of the word, the dharma which carries. Words have their own meanings, but also the words can carry the dharma. and also that they should have this special knowledge of language structure. To the extent of your knowledge of language, to the extent of your understanding. So, without which we can't give the real meaning of something. So, the command of a language helps tremendously to convey our message more clearly to the audience. But we all don't have that. Rarely, some of us have. And Patibhana is that creative ability, creativity. Right? It is the wittiness that the knowledge of presence, knowledge of presence. What is said or what is to be said accurately to the point on the spot. Some people have that ability. When somebody asks a question, can give the most accurate answer on the spot. But some of us may have that ability and knowledge, but later at some later point somewhere at home we'll remember, oh, I could have told this and that. You know, that's the idea in simple English. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you very much for your contribution. Now, the second round for the discussion that I would like to reach to Venerable Kassapa. And it is also said Kassapa this has had a very special contemplation known as four-cornered emptiness achieved and known by Venerable Kachayana. So what do you, I mean rather, what the commentaries say about this four-cornered contemplation?
Well, again one time, Buddha saw our protagonist, Venerable Kachayana, was meditating, sitting, keeping his legs crossed. So seeing this, Buddha uttered a stanza out of joy. He said in that stanza, "He who always has mindfulness continually established on the body thus, if there had not been, there would not be for me. There will not be, so there will not be for me. If he dwell therein in graded steps, in time he will pass beyond attachment." So this is the stanza uttered by the Buddha, the meaning of English meaning of the stanza uttered by the Buddha, having seen Venerable Kachayana meditating, sitting in a place, secluded place, keeping his legs crossed. Now in this stanza, there is this important statement, if there had not been, there would not be for me. There will not be, so there will not be for me. So that is what is meant by Venerable Ariyaratana, the four-cornered emptiness, Chatukoti Sunyata. That is simply the absence of I, capital I, and mine in the past and present. If there had not been, there would not be for me. And the absence of I and mine in the future. So there will not be, so there will not be for me. I did not exist in the past, so it is not existing in the present, and it will not exist in the future. My did not exist in the past, it's not existing in the present, and will not exist in the future. So that is called the four-cornered emptiness, sunyata. This term, sunyata, is the Pali term, and Sanskrit term is the shunyata, and English translation is called the emptiness. This, as a concept, this is being spoken about mainly in Mahayana tradition. So the founders of Mahayana tradition use this term sunyata. Their medium is Sanskrit, so they use shunyata, emptiness, as the term for the Nibbana, what is meant by Nibbana as Theravadins, by us. So we call it Nibbana, so they call it shunyata, emptiness. But it doesn't mean that in Theravada tradition it is not been spoken of. There are some suttas and there are occasions that even the Buddha and even in the Theravada Tripitaka this concept is being discussed about. There's one sutta called Chulla Sunyata Sutta preached by the Buddha. So Sunyata means emptiness. So on this particular occasion, on this particular stanza, Buddha said, I and mine did not exist in the past, so it is not existing in the present and it will not exist in the future. So mainly what is meant by this is nothing but again the anatta, non-self. So I did not exist and will not exist in the future. So anatta, non-self, is the concept, the bottom line of this. So that led Kacchana to his enlightenment, contemplating on this concept. So as a concept, sunyata is being discussed in Theravada tradition, but mainly in Mahayana tradition by the founders of Mahayana tradition. So that is, but on this particular occasion, the four-cornered or chatukoti sunyata means this logic, I and mine in the past and in the present and in the future. So that is the four-cornered emptiness.
That's very beautiful. That's very correct. If one can contemplate like that all times, since there's no I here, I'm the awesome. So I in the past and I in the future. Since there's nothing mine in the past, there won't be anything mine in the future. Everything is subject to change. We are in a process of changing. So everything is subject to change, therefore it is anicca. Well, so briefly, Bhante, Bandule, now it is very interesting to read Venerable Mahakacchana, and the area which I really, really like, the involvement of Venerable Kacchana in conflict solving. Yeah, his attitude to solve conflict in the society is amazing. His analogy, his way of teaching to solve the problems is commendable. So I would like to ask from Venerable Bandule, can you explain this attitude of Venerable Kacchana with the help of the available literature?
Okay, now I think you have heard where Venerable Kasapa was explaining about the most of the sermons connected with the life of Mahakacchana. So, but I, in this regards, I contribute only collect a few sermons of the Buddha and connected with the Mahakacchana. There are some sermons connected with Mahakacchana. I selected those things. One is called the in the Majjhima Nikaya Madhura Sutta. It is very important factor. He was asked. The king asks him. Avantiputta asks Mahakacchana he said the Brahmins are the highest caste. Those of any other caste are inferior. Brahmins are the fairest caste. Those of any other caste are dark. Only Brahmins are purified, not non-Brahmins. Brahmins alone are the sons of Brahma. They are offspring of Brahma. Born in his mouth, born of Brahma, created by Brahma, heirs of Brahma. So he asks about this. Whether how they become higher caste, because the Hindu society, they believe that Brahmins were born in Brahma's mouth. Then, in this case, Venerable Mahakacchana himself coming from a Brahmin family, then he has to deal with this with some kind of a different way. Otherwise, he will get, if he straight away, if he reject that idea, then it can trigger trouble for him. So he said, it is just It is just a saying in the world. That is what he said. Then he elaborated that. Mahakashipu saying, one of any social class who gains wealth can command the labor of those in the other caste. Also he said, one of any caste who violates the principles of morality would be reborn in hell, while one of any caste who observes the moral precepts would be reborn in a happy realm. One of any caste who breaks the law would be punished. One of any caste who renounces the world and become an ascetic would receive homage and respect. As such argument to close the king, this was the argument. He has put that different ways how it can happen. When you have wealth, then you can control the other caste too. So same way, those things happen. If you violate the precepts, then you have to get the punishment for you have to get the consequences for it. So same way explain it. It is only just words among the people, he said. Then king declared, yes, those four castes are all the same. There is no difference between them at all. So this is very great sayings of him to that society, because the caste dominated society. He was explaining that it is just a word, not the reality. So that is one of the sermons of him to explain the conflicts and problems in society. And there are some other events happened. The Venerable Kassapa explained that some rowdy Brahmin children who came and disturbing him. Then what he did? He came out from the monastery and he explained nicely in very beautiful words, what is the duty of a Brahmin teacher? Then he explained it. Then lastly he said, why the teacher has not done his duty according to the practice of those Brahmins. Then after listening to that, then the children ran away to the teacher and told what the Venerable said. Then teacher came back and inquired what you have said. Then he told him that what are the duties of a Brahmin teacher. Now it is not fulfilled. That is what I mentioned to them. Then that Lohicha was very happy to receive his advice. So that is one of the another teachings of the Buddha, another teaching of the Mahakachana, sorry. Then human quarrels and disputes also, then there is another sermon, it is coming from the Anguttara Nikaya, Aramadanda Sutta, Aramadanda, the man, when came to him, asks, why is society rent by such bitter conflict? Conflict with nobles against nobles, Brahmins against Brahmins, householders against householders. Then he replied, what he said, it is because of sensual lust, attachment, greed, and obsession with the sensual pleasures that nobles fight with nobles, Brahmins with Brahmins, householders with householders. So that is what happening. Because then we look at this world, it is applied to why these people are fighting. America are fighting with Korea and the other people are fighting. Why these things happen? So that explained in this teaching. So that is so much attachment, sensual pressure. Then I have to become the leader. So in that way, those things happen. Then Aramdhanda asks, why is that ascetics fight with ascetics? So that is a good answer, isn't it? So they also fight each other. Then he said, Venerable Mahakachana replied, it is because of lust for views, attachment, greed, and obsession with views that ascetics fight with ascetics. So that is second type of fightings we have. Finally, the Brahmin again asks, whether there was anyone in the world who had transcended both sensual and lust and a lust for views? That is a good question. Is there anyone? Good, there are a lot of arahant and saint, and also the Mahakachan was himself an arahant. He didn't say, oh, I am arahant. Because these days you can find there are a lot of arahant coming up. So he didn't say, I am arahant, I am free from all these views, conflicts. He didn't say that. So that is a good example for us. He said, yes, there is a Buddha. He removed all those things so that you can think about it. So whether someone is going to say, I am arahant, you are not, this wrong thing. So Buddha, that monk, he was so humble. He said, no, this is what happened. Because if someone is removed lust for views and lust for sensual pleasures, then he is free from all those things. So that was the Buddha. Then that Aramdanda pay his respect and pay respect to the Buddha. So, so I think that is for enough. There are a lot of sermons of Mahakachana. I think we don't have that much time to explain all those things, but there are very interesting characters. And also I have to mention, because due to him, in the some of the Vinaya rules has to change by the Buddha, because he was in Avanti, that far away from the Buddha's place. There were no monks in that area, and also it is a rough area. Then monks they were facing problems. He sent a messenger to the Buddha saying there are no monks and also we are facing difficulties. Like you have to, without a sandal, without shoes, you can't travel. Then Buddha allowed them to do it. Even change your dress according to that. Otherwise, we can't have this dress here. Because the Buddha has given permission to change your dress according to that environment. There are a lot of things Buddha has given concession for due to his request. So it is a great character, great monk who was in the teaching, the Buddha Sasana. So we should pay respect to him.
Thank you, Vanti. What I wanted to get from you is very clear now. The problems in the society is mainly due to two reasons. One is tanha, craving. The other is ditti, views. Yeah? The most of the lay community, because of grasping, tanha, greed, fight against each other. And the religions, because of their views, ours is right, if not views. You know? So, no matter whether lay or clergy, if we can reduce this tanha, ditti, mana, prapanchas, we can lead a better life in a conflict-free environment in a society. Thank you, Bhante Bandala. Now, time is fast moving. I would like to move to the most venerable Bhante Sila Vimala Nayaka Mahathera. Bhante, would you kindly explain a bit more that you touch upon this area in your first turn, but especially what I want to know to make conclusion to this discussion before we open the discussion to the audience. Can you please brief his endeavors to attain his arahantship? The activities that he did, as you explained, especially to gain his attainment, please.
I think all of we are interested in meditation. We do meditation quite often. So Kachana was interested in meditation, but he practiced samatha bhavana. And the Buddha directed him to practice vipassana meditation. Following the technique of vipassana, he became enlightened.
as Venerable Kasapa quoted, this is the stanza. One evening the Buddha was seated in his cottage at Jeta's Grove in Savatthi when he saw the Venerable Mahakachana nearby, sitting cross-legged, holding his body erect, having mindfulness with regard to the body set up and well established within him. On realizing the significance of this, the Blessed One uttered this inspired utterance. He who always has mindfulness, continually established on the body, thus, if there had not been, there would not be for me. There will not be, so there will not be for me. If he dwell therein, in regards steps in time, he will pass beyond attachment. So this is the utterance. The Udana commentary helps to shed light on the approach that the Venerable Mahakachana adopted to reach arahantship. So he was practicing Kayagata Sati Bhavana. Kayagata Sati Bhavana. So I have I have read couple of discourses of meditation regarding Kayagata Sati and Kaya Anupassana. You know the four foundation of mindfulness: Kaya Anupassana, Vedana Anupassana, Chitta Anupassana, and Dhamma Anupassana. mindfulness of the body in the body, mindfulness of feeling in the feeling, mindfulness of the consciousness in the consciousness, and mindfulness of the mental objects, Dhammanupassana. So, in that category, there are four for mindfulness. First one is Kayanupassana, mindfulness of the body. So he was practicing Kayagata Sati. Kayanupassana and Kayagata Sati, same objects have been given, same objects. So when one practices samatha, one can experience jhana. You know, how can one experience jhana? Overcoming five hindrances: sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worries, and doubts. These five hindrances one can overcome, developing wholesome one-pointedness. Chittasa ekagata, wholesome one-pointedness on wholesome object. For instance, burglars also, they are very mindful. And also our cat here, he also very mindful. But that mindfulness is not wholesome mindfulness. That is not wholesome concentration. All these people are not wholesome. But in here, wholesome concentration, wholesome one-pointedness, wholesome objects. Then they develop jhana, overcoming five hindrances. The experience is wholesome one-pointedness in the mind. Then they experience jhanas. Then they have wonderful relaxation, peace in mind, and not to worry about their anything, any problems. Experience joy, spiritual joy, happiness, free from hindrances. Also, vipassana techniques are different. Same mind and body. In samatha, there are 40 karmasthana, 40 objects. One is breathing. So, breathing is wholesome object for meditation. If one develops that wholesome concentration on that particular process of breathing, one can have one-pointedness, wholesome one-pointedness. But some vipassana, not only the breathing, his whole body is taking the field of practicing mindfulness. Whole body. Whole body is mind and feelings, consciousness and the body and mental objects. All they are, it is self-observation, atma nirikshane, intuitive introspections of one's mind and body. Then observation of the laboratories, one's mind and body. See, not the other's mind and body. One's own mind and body. It is intuitive awareness of the mind and body. So, things come and go. One's nirikshan, observation, these things. Thoughts come to the mind, observe, comes and they come and they go. Feelings come and go. And breathing come and go. Mainly focus on the process of breathing and other everything, whatever come to the field of awareness, they just observe and they come and they go. They come and they go. They understand impermanence. Definitely. Why? Experiential knowledge. Everything is impermanent. They understand. So, yathabhuta jnana is the aim of vipassana. Vipassana means we special way. Pasana means look at. Look at a special way of one's own mind and body. Vipassana meditation. So, understand not the wholesome concentration, but understand impermanence. Understanding suffering. Understanding non-self. These are the three signata or three characteristic understand in the vipassana meditation. Then, sabbe sankhara anicca, all conditioned things are impermanent. Sabbe sankhara dukkha, all conditioned things subject to change and dukkha. And all dhammas. Why dhamma has this term, dhamma, instead of sankhara, had used? Sankhara, the dhamma is wider than sankhara. Dhamma, sankhara are in the mundane existence. But dhamma are beyond the mundane circular, that supramundane. Even in the supramundane lokuttara, there is no so-called permanent atma. In that regards, not only Pugala Nairatmatave, not the persons within the mind and body complex, not only in the mind and body complex, Dharma Nairatmatave is even in the Nirvanic bliss, there is no so-called Atma. That is why Sabbe Dhamma Anatate, the term changed instead of Sankara. So, these things understand. The aim is seeing things as they truly are. In samatha, wholesome one-pointedness. Here, if one understands these things, one can eradicate the defilements. Defilements, especially if there is no so-called I or self. That we understand. Yesterday, a lady came to here with so much suffering on the wheelchair. I gave little short. We think this body belongs to us, but really, if we think this body doesn't belongs to us, how can we understand? If we order to the body not to get sick, if we order to the body not to get old, if we order to the body not to die, does body listen us? No. Body doesn't listen. Why? Body not belongs to us. Body belongs to the nature. There are natural laws control the nature. So therefore, body also belongs to the nature. So natural laws, impermanence is a natural law, govern our body. to be understood. Then that lady, relief from her pain, she said, I had Bhante this, I was in the wheelchair, she was in the wheelchair, suffering so much. Is this body doesn't belong to me, why I'm suffering? Why I'm thinking too much about this pain? It gave a little relief for her. You see? So Dhamma is helpful. So therefore, understand, Vipassana is a very special technique, self-observation, very intuitive awareness, self-understanding, introspection about mind and body of one's own. That is Nirvana. Nirvana, where is the Nirvana? Nirvana is not the heaven. Nirvana is in our mind. In our mind, if Nirvana is in our mind, we have to understand everything within the mind and body. So therefore the Buddha said, monks, what should be thoroughly understood? These five grasping aggregates to be understood thoroughly. Thank you.
Very much, Bhante. Now this word kachayana or kachana, kanchana, derived from kanchana. Because of his meritorious action did at the time of Buddha Kassapa, right? He offered this brick of gold. So it is reported in the commentary, he was born repeatedly in different realms, in the heavens and in the human world, with the hue of gold on his skin. Right? He was like a gold statue. Because of his beauty and his smart figure and color of the skin, he has fallen into lots of troubles. But still, since he was an arahant, he could tackle with those things wisely. Well, because of his passion, the object of meditation was impurities of the body that he was practicing. You know, he was practicing the impurities of the body. Kesa lomana kadanta, you know, body hair, the head hair, body hair, etc., etc. So he was meditating on that particular object of meditation, and unfortunately that meditation can only help to reach up to the neighborhood concentration. No chance of a jhana attainment through this sort of kayagata and cha anusati, etc., etc. At that time only, the Buddha directed him towards the nature of impermanence, etc., etc. So in meditation, what one needs to know is that whether you start from a samatha object, we should give trial to see those three characteristics of those meditation objects. Then only we can direct ourselves towards the final liberation of Nibbana. Well, now, I think this discussion and the contribution made by these learned venerable monks are tremendous, and they should be thanked. Before we wind up this monthly Dhamma discussion during the Vassa retreat, probably this will be the last Dhamma discussion for this year, but I think during these three Dhamma discussions, you could gain lots of Dhamma knowledge. So before we wind up, we would convey our blessings and thanks to you. And now the discussion is open to you, either for you to add something more to this discussion or to raise any question with regard to these issues that need to be addressed. Thank you.